All right.
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. On Twitter at TallCanAudio or at Facebook.com/TallCanAudio.
How's it going, everybody?
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Or not. Rot.
Rot?
Rot.
Rot. Okay.
I'm hoping you don't have a Happy New Year. You can just rot.
Yeah, fuck. All right.
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, first recording of 2019, and we're both feeling a little chippy.
Yeah, see, this is why I like to do my order, because this is not the first show of 2019.
Oh, there's other shows than with me on them?
No, the Tall Can Sports we're going to record after this one that comes out before this one.
All right, yeah, okay. See, peel back the curtains, we're doing ladies that. And gentlemen. Yeah. There's a couple of shows a night here.
So Rob's preference, and it's legit, is to hit Whiplash first, where your inane ramblings are going to trickle out, where there's a little more energy still in the crowd or a little more energy still in the room, because on sports, it's easier to just bring it a little bit, right? You find more passion.
I'm bringing it.
You know, passionate moments come a little easier in sports.
Where sometimes on the Whiplash, you need to fake it until you make it.
My preference, which is what we did until recently, and, you know, both have been fine until this moment, is to do them in the order they will be released. So that when we say things like,
when Rob opens his trap and starts saying shit that just aren't true... Okay, but that's not the first time that's happened
no,
in the 4 years
no,
of recording or whatever we've done here.
It's not close to the first time that
So happened. Forget about it. We're good.
All right. So now you guys have seen how the sausage gets made a little bit here.
Oh.
No. No. Okay, we're moving on. Sausage-free 2019.
Yeah, we know that's not true in any way either.
How was your holiday break, man?
It was long. And I think if I was Vishnu with all the arms,
oh boy.
I don't know if I could have crammed more shit into my gaping maw than I did over the last 10 days. Really. I don't really like that. But it's sitting there on the table.
You didn't have to do it.
Oh, I know. And so this is coupled with 2 weeks of no gym.
Right.
No gym plus shite diet. Equals a little bit of stuff hanging over the front of my pants.
Okay.
Which makes up for the stuff that's not hanging out of the front of my pants. Hey, look over there. Okay, totally. How about you, man? What about you? How are you?
You know what? I gotta say it was good because...
You don't have to. I'm not sure any of your family
our
listened.
Our entire
so let's
family
rain down on them.
Caught the plague.
Okay.
And I avoided it. Now, when we recorded
That's Matt,
before I left.
Stepping into the end zone.
Taking the train
hey,
home instead
great,
of riding with
great visual, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I'm a high stepper.
For sure he is.
Basically, but when we recorded before I left, it was pretty clear I had like a bit of a cold, right? It was just a bit nasally. Had a sore throat for 2 or 3 days, but that was about the end of it. When we... headed down on the 22nd, we had a family shindig where my niece had this horrible fever for a couple of days.
Yeah, kids are always bringing the blame.
Honest to God.
That's the deal.
And
kids and old people.
We had other nieces and nephews around who also, you know, go to daycare or go to whatever, picking up just all kinds
and
of
sand.
And within a matter of days, everyone had it.
They've been laid low.
My parents held up okay. My mom looked like she might be catching it just a little bit, but she avoided it. My dad and I were okay.
Late rounds, George Foreman.
Both my sisters down hard with fevers, and the basement temperature where my dad and I would go down at night to watch the World Juniors, it was like 140 fucking degrees down there because my sister was putting in serious Netflix time all afternoon with the fireplace cranked, wrapped up in a blanket. My other sister also down. My niece, like I said, who started this whole thing, got a second bout of it. I had aunts and uncles.
Which is karma, really.
In toques under the blankets for the rest of the holiday. It was, man, survival of the fittest. And that is normally not my strong suit, but somehow I managed to get through it. And so, you know what?
It seems like that has been all around, though.
It, for sure. Like, and I went back as we did our World Junior show for Christmas Eve. As we were getting ready for that, I went back and listened to the year previous and the year previous to that, World Junior previous.
Gold.
Both of them, though, I'm nasally and stuffed up. It seems like I end up with a Christmas cold every year, but it was nothing compared to the plague that struck down the rest of the family. So
you can believe this or not, but I am sound as the pound, and I rarely, if ever, get
sick. It's true. It is very rare for you. My old man's the same way.
That's good clean living, ladies and gentlemen. Good clean living.
I think you just finished telling us about your not clean living, but
hit the gym, you fat fucks.
I'm sitting right here.
Hey, I can hear you.
Forgot to turn his mic off. First mistake of 2019. I mean, second mistake of 2019.
Because I'm sure there'll be a couple
for sure
in that second
no doubt.
First show.
So, yeah, you know what? It was good, but it was a little disjointed because we were meeting up with these people on this day, and then that had to get moved because of this illness, whatever. Because
bowels were already moving.
On the Friday, we rented a little ice time and just had a family skate. So, I don't know, there's maybe 15 of us out there just kind of enjoying
Powering
a little.
Around. Yeah. Did you fall and split your wig this time?
I did not this time.
Sorry, man. I was just recanting.
Of course you were.
Revisiting the story of you and I out there.
We were doing a kids skate thing, teaching some kids to play hockey and stuff like that. Yeah.
And we're ripping around. And
at the end of it.
It's just the two of us now at this point. And so, yeah, I'm taking it. It's a great opportunity to just sort of wheel. Or that's air quotes.
Wheel.
Exactly.
I'm trying.
Yeah. And I go past you as we're doing different things, right?
Yep.
You're working on your double axel.
Sure. Oh, I'm a quad, man.
And then you can hear the oh, oof. And I turn around and your skates are straight up in the air and you're like, "Oh fuck. I landed and you thought you maybe had banged the back of your head."
I know I had banged the back of my head.
And of course, neither one of us wearing helmets.
No. So, yeah, I was the same way, you know, everybody else is off the ice, you're trying to pick up some speed, right? And what I had done was try to cross over and start going backwards. Which I actually managed to do for 10 feet before losing. Like the turn.
Momentum.
Yeah, the turn had gone okay. But at some point, once I was backwards, I lost it.
Yeah. Down,
and I know there was that kind of
brief moment where everything goes still.
Well, there's that thud as, you know, that coconut sound bangs off the. And yeah, there's. You know, that quick thing where you kind of sit up quick, like, I'm okay. But everything's kind of vibrating just a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm not okay.
Yeah. Oof. It's nay good.
No, for sure. Yeah. Big goose egg on the back of my fucking head, despite my fro not cushioning enough of the blow.
And I think we went over and chilled it with a couple of beers at the sketchy timeout pub.
That does sound like something I would do. Though I can't remember.
I'll have some gin and whatever you have there in terms of a fizzy liquid.
There was nothing quite that adventurous this time. There's too many little people, right? That, you know, if you look up and all of a sudden they're right there at your feet or whatever. So it was
plow through them.
They got to learn, man. Put a shoulder in.
Put a knee into their chin.
Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, kid.
So what not bad. Doing? Not a bad holiday, but yeah, I managed to survive what a lot of people didn't. So
I did being, I spent a first Christmas day, went to a movie.
Yeah.
I'd never done that before.
Okay.
To me, that was, Christmas Day is a day when you do absolutely nothing, right? Or you go and visit somebody else and you do nothing there.
Okay.
I was amazed at how packed the movie theaters are. And not just by non-Christians.
Well, I think it's like a Chinese tradition. Like, you go to the movies and then the Mandarin or something.
Nice, the Mandarin buffet. New one on Hunk Club here.
That might, we got to go, folks.
Yes. See you later.
I'm not sure the Chinese go to the Mandarin. That might be just us that do that.
Yeah, no, they're working there.
Yeah, okay.
Or that's it. Yeah, no, I agree. Now, some do.
Yeah.
It's not really Chinese.
What'd you see, man?
I saw Mary Queen of Scots.
Okay, and?
Dynamite.
Okay.
Rated R.
Ooh.
Yeah, weird.
I was invited to see Mary Poppins.
Yeah, that was in the theater next to us.
Yeah, not rated R.
But so all the seats at the Landmark here in Kanata, they're all the sort of wide reclining seats now.
Nice.
For sure, man. The couple times I was finding myself getting...
Is this like the VIP where you can have a drink and they'll bring it? No?
Okay. No.
Because I got that over at Bank Street.
Yeah, for sure. Down by the football stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, good time though. Belly full of popcorn. I started to, maybe lean back a little bit too much.
Is there anything worse than, I always feel awful coming out of the movies. You have the big giant Coke, the big giant over-buttered popcorn. And I don't want to eat for the rest of the day, whether it was a matinee or an evening.
You and I part company right back over there.
Yeah.
It was a 4 o'clock show.
Yeah. Went for dinner afterwards.
Well, no. See, I was smart, right? So because
I don't buy that.
We were doing, come on now. You know that I'm a man with the plan.
Yeah.
We were doing formal Christmas dinner on Boxing Day.
Yeah. Us
so,
too.
Yeah. So what I had done was ahead of time, I had done a meat lasagna and a veg, put them in the oven at a very low temp before we went to the theaters.
Left the house? The oven on?
And the dog in the house.
Oh, my God.
Living dangerously.
Fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
Disaster.
Tree goes up, dog, everything. Sorry about that in advance, but nothing bad happened.
All right.
Yeah, you get home, but you buy a small drink. You pound the popcorn.
Yeah.
And then once you get through the halfway point of the movie, you sip at it to sort of work away some of that, chip away at some of that salt you've developed around your...
See, I find I'm like halfway through the popcorn by the time the...
Before the movie starts?
Yeah, for sure. Because that's the best popcorn. It's got all that fake butter stuff
Show
there
a
up in the
discipline,
top.
You no. savage.
I'm sitting here with an XL popcorn and an XL Coke, and now I should show discipline
and a triple X shirt.
In terms of how I fucking go through it.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Did we not say we were going to go easy on Matt in 2019? Did we not say that?
First broken resolution.
Yes. Well, I don't make resolutions usually, right? If
That's
I
how
did.
I knew that one wasn't going to stick. This is the only one
I made
he's
it
made.
Oh, zoot. If that's the one.
So let me ask you, I want to hear from the listener too, because I haven't done anything yet, but I'm mulling something over and I want to know if this is, go ahead and do that. Or, and that's fucking weird. Don't do that.
Okay.
So, no, and I like to tee it up that way. I like
talking about my singing. Are you talking about whatever you're thinking?
My thinking.
Okay. Sorry. It was pretty timely.
Yep. When I got back, as everybody who listens to this show regularly knows, I have just moved. And so I have an extra parking spot that I'm now going to rent. Now, my old place,
You're thinking about putting your Bowflex in it instead and not renting it at all.
No. I don't want a Bowflex. Sounds hard.
Yes. 24 minutes.
I also don't
24 minutes a day.
I also don't make resolutions. You see?
And Matt is down to fighting weight.
Right. So I moved.
Not that he's not right now.
Had to. Yeah, you can fight it anyway.
Poorly.
Me and Brock. It's going to be
Barack
similar.
Or Brock?
Brock.
Okay.
Similar weight. Different builds. Slightly.
All that one big muscle.
So I'm talking to the person who has reached out to our super. It says, if you know anyone looking to rent a parking spot, I'd like to get one.
I'm your man.
Underground, whatever. And so he puts her in touch with me and says, this couple would like to rent a parking spot. You know, reach out if you're interested or whatever. So I did that. And we traded a couple of texts here the other day. And, you know, set it up. And so I had to go down and drop off the garage door opener, right? So you can get into the underground parking so they can have a second one. So I'm sitting there and I'm talking to this woman, and she appears to be about my age, and she's talking about her, you know, her and her boyfriend. I think she said boyfriend or have just moved into the building. That's a wheezy smoker's laugh. Right,
keep going. I never smoked a day in my life, but that's okay.
So she's talking about they had just moved into the building. Didn't say where they had been or where they had come from or whatever. She said, I'd introduce you to him, but he is at Sen's skills competition, which is a strike against them because fuck them.
Yes, I was there.
Finish up and come back upstairs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what?
You and this lady, what were you doing?
I'll let the good listener decide that.
Recently on Tinder.
Yeah. So I hand her the garage door opener thing. And, you know, she says, well, we'll see you around. So I head back upstairs. It's all good. We're done. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is a very seniors-centric building. And I don't know a lot of people in this building. And I'm thinking to myself, not right now. You don't want to come on too strong. But maybe in a week or two, should I send her another text that says, hey, would you and your boyfriend like to come up for a beer? Or, you know, I'm not that guy. I'm not shy, but I'm not the reach out and start something guy. And I'm certainly not with strangers that I have literally nothing in common with. Is that a weird thing to do?
How was the conversation between the two of you?
Easy, free-flowing, went on much longer than it needed to. She was very friendly, you know, seemed like a fairly personable person. Personable person? Can we do that? We're going to go with that.
For sure, why not? Yeah.
Is that a weird thing to do, to approach a total stranger?
It's
I think the text has to say you and your boyfriend.
Of course.
Yeah.
It can't be next time your boyfriend
goes to some shitty
Sens game, you know, maybe.
We'll show you how a Leaf does it.
You know what I mean? 50 years of futility right here, taking it all out on you.
50 years of infertility.
It's weird for you.
Yes. Is it weird for normal, socially average people?
I think it's hard, man.
It really is.
As an adult, to make new friends.
It is.
I think that is... I think you'd be commended for that. Now, we'll see what the listener says.
Yeah.
My question is, and my concern is, and it's mild...
Matt can't handle the rejection.
Nope. No, I'm assuming that's why I asked the question, that if it was free-flowing and easygoing, that clearly...
Yeah.
Yeah. What happens at somewhere down the road if you go, hey, I just thought we'd get together for, you know, a beer once a month or something. I don't want to meet with you guys.
You think they may become too attached to me.
This is it.
Yeah.
I know I have.
Most likely outcome here is they find me irresistible.
I like that guy. I'm not sure what it is.
Hadn't considered that. Yes.
And then you want to duck. Do you want to duck them? You're like,
because they are going to be right here, right?
You can't. Exactly.
Seeing them in the lobby, in the elevator.
Checking mail, saying, hey, I noticed we haven't had tortellini in a while.
Is that what we're calling this? Out here at the Napia Noodle House.
And this is what I was laughing about. As soon as you were saying,
finished up.
Listen, I'm like... Matt's been invited into a threesome. This is awesome.
What's wrong with that?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They'd be lucky to have you.
Absolutely they would. There's going to be large popcorn at the end of this.
And it's one of those things where you go,
Yeah.
Who's happiest to have Matt here?
I know Matt's good with it.
Pleasure me.
I don't know about Sen's skills competition guy.
We went to call it the unskills competition, yeah, or the non-skills competition.
Well, that's
competition.
When he got home. That's what happened.
Oh, my goodness. Lots of fumbling.
Yeah.
This is, it's harder than it should be, really. Should it be this hard?
That could be, so do you think it's worth a shot, but that it's unconventional?
Matt, reaching out.
Yeah. Not, leave Matt's social inadequacies out of it. Would you do it?
Yeah, if I was feeling like, now you don't know him at all.
No. Is it more you kind of have to run into each other again in the mailroom and maybe float it than send a text out of nowhere to...
I think that does lead its way towards sort of more social norms, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas if you send her a text or an email saying, hey, what if you and
right.
Sanchez.
Whatever. Yes. Junior.
Yeah, come up for for a couple of beers.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This crossed my mind last night.
I think
afterwards.
You're to be commended for knocking it around. Because, again, it's very when you get to be a grown adult,
yep.
It's hard to do what you're talking about.
It is. Yeah.
Because people are like, it's fucking weird.
I'm setting my ways.
I got all the friends I need, right. Man. I'm not taking on any strays. Right? Or they don't. Or they're in the same position.
Yeah. True.
Anyway,
for all I know, they've moved in from out of town, not just across town or
for
whatever.
For all I know, they're on witness protection.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Keep us, as in myself and the good listener.
I will.
Up.
I'm going to kick this around for a little while.
See how you, I think you're on to something though.
Yeah. All right.
Mail, casual glance. Hey.
I'm more worried they may abuse my parking spot and then things could get awkward.
They're Bowflex, man.
What if I want to put my Bowflex in there after I've rented it?
Oh, zoot.
Yeah. I was wondering, and I guess I already asked you this off the air, if you had paid any attention in the last couple of weeks to the all new and improved Louis C.K. controversy.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, when you said it to me, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So he's kind of come back around. He was shamed out of the business for a while.
After the whole masturbation thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the whole masturbation thing. Not sure if Apple Podcasts will let us use that as a title, but we'll see. And he's sort of been, you know, the people who are mad at him are going to stay mad at him. That's just kind of the way society works. But there was no shortage of controversy in the material that he was covering just a week or two before Christmas. In one of these, you know, he's not doing big stadium tours yet again or anything like that. He's kind of popping up in different places out of nowhere and
clubs.
Testing his material. Yeah. That's right. So I want to let you listen to, I don't want to just tell you what he said. I want you to hear it. It's about 2 minutes long. He takes some pretty broad swipes at a couple of different groups. And obviously he's being taken to task for it, which isn't overly surprising just because it's him, let alone what he said. But what he said has certainly got its own share of controversy. I'm going to let you hear it for yourselves, and then we'll kick it around.
But I'm a little disappointed in the younger generation, honestly, because I'm 51 years old, and when I was like 18 to my 20s, I mean, we were idiots. We were getting high, doing fucking mushrooms and shit. And then older people were like, you gotta get your shit together. And we were like, yeah, fuck you. And I was kind of excited to be in my 50s and see people in their 20s and be like, they're crazy. These kids are nuts. But they're not. They're fucking, they're just boring. Fucking telling them, you shouldn't say that. What the, what are you, an old lady? What the fuck are you doing? Not appropriate. Fuck you, you're a child. Why are you finger fucking each other and doing jello shots? Like, why aren't you? Why? You should address me. They're like royalty. They tell you what to call them.
Fuck them.
You should address me as they them. Because I identify as gender neutral. Oh, okay. Okay. You should address me as there. Because I identify as a location. And the location is your mother's cunt. It doesn't have to be that nasty. But it can be.
Shit.
They testify in front of Congress, these kids? What the fuck? What are you doing? You're young. You should be crazy. You should be unhinged. Not in a suit saying, I'm here to tell. Fuck you. You're not interesting. Because you went to a high school where kids got shot? Why does that mean I have to listen to you? How does that make you interesting? You didn't get shot. You pushed some fat kid in the way. Now I gotta listen to you talking?
So, lots to unpack there. To me, before we cover anything more of this, I think the thing that I want to point out most to everyone who's mad at Louis C.K., and you have the right to be as mad as you want to be about it, but Rob's reaction right there was shared by however many people were in the room listening to him perform in that moment. The thing to take away is... he wasn't speaking to an awkwardly silent room saying, oh, I don't like this, right? I'm uncomfortable with it. There was a ton of laughter in that clip, for better or worse. So he takes some shots at the Parkland High School kids who survived their shooting and then held a huge march on Washington. He's taking swipes at gender identity and how that's all playing out at this point. Things that are huge in the news right now. And that if you were Louis C.K. looking to make a light and easy return to the comedy scene, you probably wouldn't have touched with a 10-foot pole.
See, and I disagree. And you're right.
If he was looking to make a light and easy return, he wouldn't touch it. That's clearly not what he's...
That's not his bag, though.
What he's looking...
That's not his...
Anytime we talk about him on this show, it's because there's been something pretty over the top.
Right. And really, there's a difference. He steps away because of that whole masturbation thing, right? Where that's something he's done.
Yep.
Right? His comedy has always been, and I think of that when they're talking about Moors or whatever, the Mounds Bars.
Mounds Bars Mounds on Saturday bars, Night Live.
Yeah, Mounds Bars must be...
Having sex with little boys must be
way
awesome.
Better than Mounds Bars.
Because yeah, you're willing to go through all this.
Because I just can't stop doing it.
Right.
And you're like, oof. That's...
sure.
And that's one of those things where you go, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like the idea of... Yeah, you just shoved a fat kid in front of you. That's all you did.
Yeah.
It's again, you know, tragedy plus time equals humor. That is.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying I've subscribed to that. Maybe.
Right.
But that is time tested formula.
Yes.
Tragedy plus time.
I think one of the things
too
here
soon?
Is
too
yeah,
soon.
What's the time? Right? What does it have to be to equal comedy before it equals poor taste?
It's the space shuttle blowing up and then the next day somebody saying, how do you get 9 astronauts into a VW bug?
Oh, no.
In the ashtray. Right? That the next day? Too soon, man. Too soon.
So I think the thing that stands out to me most on this whole thing is he was already persona non grata, right? People are, for better or worse, and there's not a whole lot of defending what he said, except for the fact that, you know, what's funny to you is different than what's funny to someone else. But
that guy in the recording that was super annoying.
Yeah. So this was a leak. Someone was clearly recording it. Sounds like it was that guy probably holding his cell phone or whatever.
Going, ah, that's terrible.
And at some point when he brings up the youth, and he's like, yeah, fuck them. You're like, yeah. All right. that guy was kind of funny.
Yeah.
No, so to me, he was, no matter what he talked about, he was going to be told, it's too soon, we're not ready to see you. And he went right for two unbelievably controversial topics. And
this has been a thing forever, long before Louis C.K., long before his history, long before, oh, you can't talk about that, or you can't joke about that. And
which he addresses in the thing.
All the time. And all the time he brings that up. What you don't think is funny, someone else might. And if you watch CSI, right, or Criminal Minds, or whatever, it's okay for someone to play the bad guy, for someone to play the rapist or the murderer. And we all look at that guy and go, he's just an actor. He's just playing the character. He doesn't actually think that. But we're unable to make that transfer to comedians, right? Who I don't particularly believe that Louis C.K. thinks that Parkland survivors are just whiny shitheads. I don't think that. I think he's taken something, made you uncomfortable with it, and tried to turn it into something to laugh at. But we don't look at comedy as an art that way. You look at that and go, no, no, not on that topic, not on that. And that's strange to me, that you're not able to give comedians the same rope that an actor or a movie star or, you know, TV or movies are the main one, where you're able to separate, yeah, that's not a real guy. He doesn't actually, whatever character he might be playing, right? I don't understand that. And I'm not saying you have to like it and you have to think Louis C.K. is great and you have to think that was funny. But you can just go, yeah, that's not my bag, and not watch it.
Well, and yeah, and to me, it wasn't all funny.
No, it wasn't. And some of it was.
Some of it was. And you sort of go, yeah, all right. But to me, that he's being true to himself,
yeah,
at least in terms of his craft and how he performs it, that is he's taking the time away,
yep,
come back, and he's brought more uncomfortable stuff.
Yep.
Right? Where you go, ooh, I shouldn't be smiling. Or maybe tittering or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And you go, and at the end you go, I'm laughing at that, right? Or I'm laughing at this. And clearly nobody thinks that there's anything funny about Parkland.
Right.
Right. So it is that whole sort of thing, right? Like saying, yeah, there's really nothing funny about having sex with young boys.
Right.
All that sort of stuff too. And you sort of go, yeah, what are you laughing at?
But who gets to decide that? Who
amen,
decides?
Amen, brother.
Right.
And that
what
is
what we all agree to draw a line here.
And the thing that he's talking about there is, man, we all know some early 20-somethings,
mm-hmm,
who want to be, as he said, you know, they are that sort of know-it-all. I want to be addressed. You need to address me when you speak to me.
Right.
You're like, Bert, what?
Oh, I'm going to address you in a second.
Yeah. With the back of my hand.
The thing was, in November, I think it was, maybe October, when he first started popping up again. He had been completely unseen for several months. I think it was 8 or 9 months after, you know, all the allegations against him came out. And he disappeared. And unadvertised, he popped up again at a comedy club in New York where he knew the owner. It wasn't advertised. It wasn't announced. It was kind of an open mic night, and he was showing up to test out some new material. And there was all kinds of outrage that said, who welcomed you back? Who said, we're ready for you, right? You haven't taken the time to understand how you hurt people and how you... And I'm willing to listen to that. You get to decide how long you want to shun that person. But who gets to decide how long we all should shun that person, right?
Right. And it's interesting, and I'm not sure where I stand on that, but I'm going to take a stab at it.
Sure.
If I'm paying to see you perform tonight, I'm showing up at the Laugh Club the Comedy Factory, and this is the list of...
Announced performers,
and you go, yeah, and then somebody slides you in between?
Mm-hmm.
No. If I'm uncomfortable enough, I'm not coming to see you that night. I'm not coming. I'm not endorsing that because I'm not prepared to see you. And that's my stance.
Yep.
So I'm speaking with my dollar.
Sure. And there is a great podcast comes out every day. It's called The Daily. It's by the New York Times. And they did an interview after this happened with the owner of the comedy club that Louis C.K. performed at that night. This was the first night he came back. And said, you know, take us through your thought process. How do you decide who gets on stage, who doesn't, what's advertised and what's not? And he said, this was an open mic night. people show up, they don't know who's coming on
stage. And that's my that was my follow-up point to that.
And he said that there were a couple of people who were not ready to see Louis C.K. and were upset. He said, I refunded their money and they left. And he said, I get that. But I am not the arbiter of society, right, that gets to say... He said, I do at my club. I can say to Louis C.K., yeah, no, not yet. I'm not ready to see you. I don't want you here, whatever. Because I don't want to make that call. I don't want to be the one who decides. If all my audience gets up and leaves, then yeah, I get to go, okay, guess we're not doing that again.
Yeah, don't do that.
Right. But he said there was three people who left that night. Everyone else just saw a huge superstar come out on stage. This was unexpected. This was unique. He said, I don't think all of them were thrilled to see him, but... they all knew that was an option for them. And he just goes, I don't know who gets to decide what we're okay with, when we're okay with it, who, how long his punishment is. He goes, in the legal system, we understand there's a jury or a judge who decides you're gone for this long. When you have upset society on a more moral level, who makes that call? He goes, I know it's not me. And so he wasn't willing to, and I kind of get that, right?
Well, for sure, because you do have to ask yourself, and it is a very slippery slope where you go, yeah, never again.
Yep.
You never get a chance again.
Yep.
Okay, but, okay, so I did this, and I agree. It's
I understand if there's people who never want to see him again.
For sure.
Yeah.
And that is totally your right.
Yep.
And what I'm saying, though, is, What is it next?
Right.
And say, you never deserve a second chance.
Yeah.
After this. I don't know what it is.
Right. When it is.
It's we what have your
reparations
to be careful.
Have to be.
And I think as somebody who runs a business, he gets it.
Yeah.
If his business takes a decline.
Right.
Then he knows society and the paying public as a whole has spoken.
Right.
And that will bear itself out.
So I was speaking to someone over the holidays about this, and we were talking about how it looks like NBC is ready to bring back Matt Lauer, right? There's Bill O'Reilly. Looks like he's getting ready to have another chance on TV. And the difference that, to me, yeah, the difference is publicly traded giant corporations have to sign off on those, right? And say, what's good for our shareholders? What's good for not just the... you know, Good Morning America audience, but what's good for all our other properties, right? Louis C.K., he's just a guy. He's a huge superstar of a guy, but he gets to try this, right? He gets to come back and say, "Ooh, fuck, they weren't ready for me, or it's never going to be the same again," or whatever it might be that he comes from. But he's just a guy, and all he needs is a comedy club, or frankly, an iPhone, and puts up his own YouTube videos for a while to see who's ready to see him, right?
Or, or he rolls into...
yeah, the Laugh Factory, or whatever it's going to be.
Or whatever the larger venue is, and you're in a place that seats 10,000 people,
yeah,
and you get 1,200.
Right. That might be his new reality. That, it might be.
And then it's spoken. Right. Whereas if you have somebody who's going to... who I have the choice, though, to go see... Louis C.K. At the arena or not in the larger venue, you're now talking about people who will be pushed into my living room.
You don't have to watch that channel, right? But that is the difference. He doesn't need NBC to back him.
I know, but what I'm saying though is I think it's the response is immediate.
Yep.
You're gonna wait for the Nielsen ratings. Right. Or you're gonna wait for whatever, which is. Yeah. How reliable is that shit, 1958?
It's more, I think your advertisers will start hearing from your viewers and that'll tell you in a real hurry. But those are very, I guess I was just drawing the comparison, right? Because Louis C.K. is just a one-man corporation, right? He shows up and does what he wants to do and it'll go well or it'll go poorly. Matt Lauer and Bill O'Reilly need someone else to say to them, we are ready for you again.
Right, and you're suggesting that somebody is.
Yeah, looks like.
Well, and see,
those are big names that huge followings, and
really, I look at and there is, if it's all bad,
yeah,
right, and again, it's blurry now in terms of who's done what and whatnot. Well,
there's been so much of it too, right?
Right, like is it gets to be, to me, there has to be degrees,
yes,
of bad,
yes,
right, and say, I'm going to force you to watch me masturbate.
Right.
Right? Not really you, but...
And that, not really force.
All right, yes. and you go, yeah, that's awkward, uncomfortable, and unwanted. All those things. And it's bad.
Yeah.
Is it the same as me needing locks on my door so I can fuck interns?
Right.
And physically force myself on people?
Yeah.
And now you want to do it. You want to say, hey, man, this is where I show up to get my fucking news in the morning or evening, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And now I got to look at that guy. I don't want to go.
Right.
So I just, yeah, it's an interesting dilemma that we are facing as a society.
Yep.
And you know what? I was totally unprepared for this topic.
I know.
Had I been more prepared, what do you think about Kevin Spacey coming out, and he sort of had that rebuttal about the incident that happened with him and the 14-year-old boy, but he did it in the character of Frank.
Oh.
What's his name from House of Cards?
Underwood.
Frank Underwood.
To be honest with you, I had seen his name pop up a couple of times and knew he had done something. I didn't look enough into it to see
what it was. It was a slight addressing / rebuttal in character.
Oof. So you're almost removing yourself from it.
It's weird, man.
It's really weird. Like, I know this is a thing, so we're going to address it, but not really. I don't know what I think of that. Like, and I'll go and take a look at it, and we'll share it at Tall Can Audio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio. But I haven't seen it. And to me, if you're going to try to address anything like that, but do it in this character, is sort of taking the side door.
Well, and the character was clean cut and easy, yeah, and free living, right? So it's...
Oof. Character's dead.
Pillar of society. And
spoilers. Sorry, folks. But yeah, it's strange, man. And as I'm with you, that there has to be, just like in our legal system, and there never will be when it's just the court of public opinion, but there has to be levels of degree. There just has to be.
Well, as
someone who flashes you on the bus is an asshole and they shouldn't have done it, but it's not the same as locking a door behind you and forcing themselves upon you. It's just not.
Yeah. I agree. But I guarantee you there are people listening to this right now.
That's absolutely true. Who disagree with me.
Who will absolutely disagree with that.
Yeah, black and white.
That's it.
It's just not. It's all bad, but what level of bad are we talking about? Because then the punishment has to fit.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, and this is what I'm saying is at the end of this conversation, what I'm left with is Louis C.K. making a reentry,
mm-hmm,
and true to his craft.
And I think the only reason I brought up those other guys is I think it's easier for him. Maybe he'll never sell out 5,000-seat arenas again.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying.
But he can make a living traveling the country playing much smaller venues, and he'll do just fine. Matt Lauer and Bill O'Reilly have to wait for their publicly traded large corporation employers to say it's okay. And maybe that's fine. Maybe that's the way it should be. But it's different when you're an independent contractor.
Well, and at the end of the day, you are, as you say, independent contractor. You are somebody who makes your living talking about the things you talk about.
Yeah.
The other guys, now Bill O'Reilly is a personality,
yeah,
and is an op-ed kind of a thing.
Sure.
Matt Lauer, not so much.
He's supposed to be the friendly, yep, talk about the flowery stuff in the morning. And
yeah. Welcome you into your day.
Yeah.
And so those are different things. Louis C.K., you go, all right, yeah, that's terrible, that thing that happened there, for sure.
Yep. Of course.
But this, you know, when he comes back in his day job, this is what he does. Like it or don't like it.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with someone providing a service, which is what he's doing. He's trying to make you laugh, that you don't like, right? I don't like HGTV, so I don't watch it, right? This guy wants to say shocking things. And like I said, I don't believe he thought Parkland was a good thing, but he thought this is something over the top. I can take a different spin at it, a different stab at it. And whether you like it or not, you got to give the guy free speech. You just have to. That's just part of the deal. Well, and you don't have to like it. You don't have to buy his tickets. You don't have to watch it. But you don't get to get all upset every time someone says something you didn't love.
Well, and we are getting, and that's where this gets into in a broader sense, right? It is that whole right to free speech. And you go, yeah, I believe in that. As long as you're saying what I
agree with. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we're getting closer and closer to that.
Yeah. Why don't we wind this one down? You can give us a follow on Twitter at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio. New bonus stuff up this week at Patreon.com/TallCanAudio. You can check that out if you want to support the show.
Bonus.
And I think, yeah, we'll wind this one down and we'll catch you all on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the second episode recorded this year.
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCan Audio on your favorite podcast app. When you say TallCan Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.